Good morning. We're back. I'm Lisa Anderson, and this morning's guest is Dr. Mark Krasna. Dr. Krasna is the medical director for Meridian Cancer Care, and we're talking about exciting developments, Dr. Krasna, with poor prognosis cancers and rare cancers. Let's go back. We were talking about how the DNA each individual person has determines new treatments, for example. What would you call a rare cancer?
That's a good question. So the kinds that we see, let's say, typically in the state of New Jersey would be pancreatic cancer, even some melanomas, and even some of the gynecologic malignancies like ovarian cancer. So as opposed to what you usually think of when you think of cancer, which would be prostate cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, and lung cancer. Because this is still a clinical research study that we're doing with Rutgers Cancer Institute in New Jersey, the first part of the study is really going to be limited to those rare tumors. But as you mentioned earlier in the discussion, we're also going to include patients who may have more of the common cancers, but whose tumors have recurred despite, let's say, what we'll call first-line or even second-line treatment. So they've already had that attempt at the standard therapy. Perhaps they've already had, you know, one or two of the different kinds of chemotherapy regimens or surgery or radiation, and now their tumor has recurred. Those patients would also be eligible. So really the first step, Lisa, that we will do is we'll actually draw a blood sample from the patients, and we'll also try to get a sample of the patient's tumor. And then what we're doing is actually looking at the gene expression. So the very first thing is that an entire gene sequencing or gene mapping is done. As I said, the genetic fingerprint of that particular patient's cancer. And then once we have that gene map, now we know of the literally thousands and thousands of genes that are there, which ones have abnormalities or what we call mutations. And then of those, which of the abnormalities have we identified that have a known drug or some other known formula that can work against that abnormality? And that's really the very, very first step. So the first step is we get the sample. The sample is studied, and we actually get the printout of all of those genetic abnormalities. And now that patient is brought, as we were saying earlier, is brought to that molecular tumor board where the patient is discussed.
You know, you hear it all the time. For an example, again, a woman with breast cancer, 5 years cancer-free. Another woman has breast cancer, treated the same way. Her cancer returns in 2 years. So it definitely makes so much sense that the DNA makeup of each individual person is different. And maybe that's what causes some cancer to return in the same type of, you know, say breast cancer with women, and some women beat it for 20 years.
No, that's a very good statement, Lisa. Basically, what you're describing is the molecular behavior of someone's cancer. So although under the microscope, they both may look like a certain type of breast cancer, and maybe they even on the CAT scan and on all the other studies, they look like they're the same stage. But one patient's cancer is behaving differently than the other patient's cancer on a molecular level. And what we now know is that when we say molecular, what it really means is that there's genetic differences between the two cancers, and those genetic differences make some of the cancer cells respond differently than others. So again, we were saying earlier, let's say in breast cancer, someone has already had standard therapy with hormones. Perhaps they've even had standard therapy with a drug called Herceptin against HER2-new. But let's say that patient has now recurred despite, you know, these two prior therapies, and now this cancer seems to not be responsive to the standard therapies that we've had. By going deeper down into the level of the actual gene sequencing and identifying where the gene mutations are, we're hoping that we can identify what are those molecular or biologic differences in that patient's cancer that's making it act so much more virulent, so much more aggressive than the other patient's cancer.
I understand individuals 1 year old or older who have been diagnosed with rare forms of cancer or a cancer that is no longer responding, eligible to participate. And we'll tell our listeners how in just a moment. But they take children 1 year old and older?
That's correct. Unfortunately, children's cancers obviously can be very aggressive. Luckily, in general, children's cancers are rare, so therefore they almost all will qualify for participating in a study like this. And again, the good news is that some of the what we call typical children's cancers in the past years, things like leukemias, we actually know a lot about now. We know a lot about their genetic expression, and we know in terms of, you know, what the gene abnormalities typically are and how to respond to treat treat them accordingly. But again, even there, a patient may have had a first-line or second-line therapy that you think would be enough to control that tumor. But again, if the patient then recurred despite that or wasn't responding to that first-line therapy, absolutely, even in children as young as 1 year of age, we would consider those patients for the precision medicine trial as well. And again, to your question about, you know, how the patients would go about doing it, so we basically have our clinical research associates at each of the Meridian Cancer Centers. So we have a research nurse or research associate at all of the cancer centers, at Bayshore Riverview, at Jersey Shore, at Ocean and Southern Ocean, and even now out at Jackson Health Village. That clinical research associate is there when the team sees the patient. They can identify the patient and make sure that the patient meets the eligibility criteria. And then if the patient does, then that patient would be referred to our colleagues at Rutgers CINJ. A specimen from their tumor, as well as a specimen of blood, would be taken and then sent up. And then, again, the patient's treating physician from Meridian would go up and be a part of our Rutgers CINJ molecular tumor panel and actually discuss the patient, present the case, and then we would hear the feedback from the molecular biology scientists in the room in terms of what other treatments are available for this patient that might be appropriate.
I know the last time we spoke, Dr. Kresna, we were talking about the support, the one-on-one support from the nurses at each of these centers, which
yes,
I feel is so important. Can you just touch on that again?
Sure, absolutely. And what you're referring to is our Nurse Navigator Program. We're delighted that we now have 15 Nurse Navigators throughout Meridian Cancer Care. So really, at each of the sites, there's now more than one Nurse Navigator. What we're trying to do is, as the programs grow, we're actually trying to have a specific Nurse Navigator for each disease site. So for instance, there is a Nurse Navigator for lung cancer, and there is a separate Nurse Navigator for breast cancer. And again, the reason is because those cancers are so common, we want them to spend as much time as possible with that team of physicians. The nurse navigators play a very, very important role. They are what I consider the glue that holds the team together. That multidisciplinary team that we have is your medical oncologist, radiation oncologist, and surgeon. And those physicians at Meridian Cancer Care really are working together as a team. They present each patient in a prospective multidisciplinary tumor conference. We have numerous tumor conferences every week. The nurse navigators are the ones who collaborate to get all that information together. And then once a consensus is arrived at in terms of the best treatment for this patient, it's really the nurse navigator, in addition to the physicians, who get back to the patient. We think of them as the go-to person. You know, when the patients have questions, if something's not clear, if something has come up, they can reach out to the nurse navigator. And again, it's wonderful having a nurse navigator at each site. I will add, in addition to what we had discussed previously on the past interview, we now have also added a survivorship nurse navigator at each of the cancer centers. So now there's somebody whose job it is not just to help you through your cancer care treatment, but at the end, as you're getting to the end of the treatment phase, we know that there's this very important handoff point where the patient is not quite ready to get back into being a civilian again and getting back into the regular life. Because,
sure,
you know, the patient is concerned, well, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be lost? Am I going to have follow-up? You know, will my doctors keep an eye on things? And really, the survivorship navigator is going to be the person to really try and help coordinate for that patient the long term, making sure that they get all the follow-up tests that are necessary, and also reminding the patient that, you know, now that you're healthy and you've survived your initial fight against cancer, let's just say, don't forget, if you're 50 years old, you know, you need to have your checkup. You need to see your cardiologist if you've had high blood pressure. You need to get your screening colonoscopy, even if you were a survivor of lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And the navigators from the survivorship program really is the person to help kind of give the patient that summary of all that they've been through and give them the follow-up plan for their cancer, but equally importantly, then tie that patient back to their primary care physician and make sure that they get back into their usual healthy preventive medicine kind of all the maintenance that they need to do now that they're over their cancer scare. So we'll follow up for the cancer. We'll make sure you're not lost and we know what your tests are. But don't forget, as a regular healthy person who's now over their cancer, you have all these other medical things that you need to pay attention to. And that's part of the important role of the navigator.
Extremely, extremely important, because it is a really scary time when you're going through all of the treatment. And it does change your life when you hear that all clear. Like you said, you're not ready immediately to jump back into the life you had. So what an important lifeline that is with the nurse navigators.
Yes, absolutely. And again, we think that they are an invaluable resource to our physicians, but most importantly to our patients along the Jersey Shore. Like I said, they are the people that will keep the patients tied in with all their physicians. They're the glue that also then puts the patients in touch with other resources if they need help, whether it's financial counseling or a social worker, or they need to see somebody for, you know, psychosocial support. All of those things, dietary involvement, and again, we're talking today about research, it's the nurse navigators that will often think of a research trial that this patient might be eligible for and then call in our clinical research team to see the patient. So I think they're a very important resource.
What a great network of people. For additional information on how to participate, what should one do?
I knew you were going to ask me that. The best thing to do would be to contact our clinical research office and ask for information about the clinical research trial for precision medicine. And the number they should call is 732-235-8675. That would put them in touch directly with the clinical research associates at Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey, or they can call directly to Meridian Health Cancer Center at whichever cancer center they're being seen, and then nurse navigator there will put them in touch with a clinical research associate at Meridian.
Is there a website, Dr. Krasna?
Yes. Patients should log into meridianhealth.com/cancer and look under cancer care, and they can either contact directly the nurse navigator or the research office that is closest to them or at the hospital where they're being seen.
Great news, Dr. Krasna, for the Jersey Shore, for folks that are battling cancer. And again, we've been talking with Dr. Mark Krasna. He is the medical director for Meridian Cancer Care, Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey, joining forces with its system partner Meridian Health, offering patients with rare forms of cancer or with cancer that no longer responds to that standard treatment access to a clinical trial.
And I'll give you one other phone number, sure, if patients are interested, and that would be 732-776-2953, and that would put them in touch directly with our Office of Clinical Research. And then depending which hospital they're in, they will put them in touch with a clinical research associate that's closest to them.
Your help has been invaluable this morning, Dr. Mark Krasna. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Stop by again and tell us about all the great advances going on with Meridian Cancer Care, and together,
someday we will stamp it out.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much, Dr. Mark
Thank
Krasna.
Thank you, Lisa. Good to be with you again.